If you say so.
Minerva drawled sarcastically. Get out, Minerva. The fastidiously dressed middle-aged woman with a flawless café au lait complexion and stylishly coiffed, chemically straightened hair turned on her heels and stomped out of the office of the man who in the past month had changed in front of her eyes like a snake shedding its skin. Even after a snake shed his skin for a new one, he'd still retain the behavior of a reptile. However, it wasn't the same with Raymond Humphreys. He may have looked the same, but Raymond had changed. Most of the time he was curt to the point of rudeness, short-tempered and exceedingly condescending. Perhaps, she mused, it was time to move on, to get another job. Affecting a professional smile, she walked into the reception area.
Mr. Innes, please follow me.
She escorted the man into her boss's office. The first time she'd met the man, she'd stood several feet away from him, fearing he would smell. Yet upon closer inspection, she had discovered he was clean. It was just his scraggly beard, matted hair, and rumpled clothes that reminded her of the homeless man who sat on a wooden box outside a corner store near her subway station. Donald Ennis pulled back his shoulders in an attempt to appear taller than his 5'6" stature.
Thank you,
he mumbled, giving the uptight, prissy woman a sidelong glance. He knew she didn't like him, and the feeling was mutual. Each time he came to see Raymond Humphreys, she turned her nose up at him as if he were awful. What Minerva Jackson didn't know was his unkempt appearance was a foil, a carefully scripted persona for his profession. She didn't sign his checks, so he couldn't care less what she thought of him. Raymond was up on his feet, hand extended, when Donald walked into his office, closing the door softly behind him.
Good morning, Ennis. He shook his hand, then indicated a chair at the conference table. Please, sit down.
Donald sat while Raymond stood close by, no doubt watching for his reaction when he stared at the half-dozen black-and-white photographs, some shot with a long-range lens.
What do you want?
Do you know who he is?
Raymond asked, answering the question with a question.
Who doesn't?
It was another question. It was a game the two men played, matching wits.
Only someone dead or living under the proverbial rock wouldn't recognize Harlem's hottest slick-talking shyster lawyer.
Raymond sat, tapping one of the photographs with his finger.
Slick-talking, yes. Shyster? Hell no. This young boy knows his stuff.
Donald flashed a rare smile.
He's smart and ballsy. He proved that when he called out his grandpappy for being a slumlord, all the while television cameras were rolling.
Raymond nodded.
It was a risky move, but fortunately for him, it worked. Next month, my son-in-law will announce he's challenging Billy Edwards for his state assembly seat, and I don't want anything to jeopardize that.
Robert Andrews, married to Raymond's daughter Diane, was CFO of RLH Realty.
What does his election bid have to do with Jordan Wainwright? Donald asked.
There's more to Wainwright becoming partner in a Harlem law firm than his reputation for helping the so-called little guy. I believe he staged that televised press conference to embarrass his grandfather, because Wyatt Wainwright is using his grandson as a pawn.
Raymond held up his hand. And before you ask me for what, I'll tell you. It isn't enough that Wainwright Developers Group owns most of the prime real estate on the Upper East and West Side, Soho, Chelsea, and Tribeca. Now they've set their sights on Harlem. I don't know how they did it, but they've managed to buy the buildings on 114 right from under our noses. I don't want Robert embroiled in a real estate war where the fallout could be his losing the election.
So you think the grandson is slumming in Harlem to identify potential parcels for his grandfather?
I know he is, Raymond confirmed. I want you to use all your resources to keep tabs on Jordan Wainwright 24/7. I want you to report back to me where he goes and who he meets until after the election.
Donald nodded.
Does he live in Harlem?
No, he has a duplex on Fifth Avenue.